David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hi, this is Stacy from The Advisor. Today I'm very excited because we have a very special guest. We have author Rebecca Vigas. And before we go into our special podcast today, because I'm very excited, I just want to give a quick shout out to DMAworld.com. They are a marketing consulting agency and they focus on helping small businesses become big businesses. Mark, the owner, doesn't want you to get scammed by these big companies, these big marketing companies. He'd like to talk to you and help you grow your business at a reasonable cost. So go to DMAworld.com and Mark will be happy to answer any questions that you have and help you with any of the concerns that you're going through. So Rebecca, I am so excited, and you are an author and you've written a lot of books. And today we're going to be talking about unveiling the spellbinding world of legacy writing. And guys, be prepared to be enchanted, because when you hear this story and you hear what we're going to talk about, you're going to just be blown away. So Rebecca, tell everybody a little about yourself and what you do. And this is truly amazing, guys.
Okay, I have been writing since I was 10 years old, which we're talking almost 60 years now. I had a teacher who told me with my imagination, he would one day see me in books. He was 2 years from retirement at that time, so no, he never got to see me in books, but that was where it started. And I wrote nonsense poetry for a year and a half. And then we moved, and I was in seventh grade in a new school where everybody had their own friends. And I wrote a lot about teenage angst in those years. I put together a poetry book that came out in 1978 called Only a Start. Mm-hmm. And my one goal in life was to write a novel.
Oh, wow.
Only a Start became Only a Start and Beyond in 2004. And I added all the poetry I had written since. And I started looking at it going, some of this stuff in 1978 should never have seen the light of day.
Mm-hmm.
But being young and impressionable, I didn't know.
Right.
But if you look at the book itself, you can see the growth of a writer, which right. A lot of times in novels, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that's important to me as a writing coach, is that you can see where I started and where I am now, just in my poetry.
Right.
So it is now out in its third edition, Only a Start and Beyond. And it's got some new additions under memories added to it, which is what led me to legacy writing. When my mom died, my dad had been gone a couple of years. And when mom died, I got everything, the pictures, everything. And I've unearthed some incredible stuff about my family that I didn't know.
Right.
But I got all these pictures of people I don't know, and anyone I can ask, they're gone. So I'm heading north to where my parents grew up in northern Michigan, and I'm stopping at the Historical Society with all of these items saying, do you have any idea who these are? Do you know anybody who has any idea who these are? My next trip will probably be to the nursing home, but, you know, I'm good with that if they know someone who might be able to identify who these people are. And right. Then if they can, I'm just going to leave them right there with the Historical Society.
Right.
So that's where legacy writing started. My family's lost its greatest generation. The generation that was born in the 30s, there are three left, one with Alzheimer's and two others, and one of those others just turned 90.
Wow.
So those of us who are baby boomers, some are already in our 70s and some are approaching our 70s very rapidly. And the way I see it, our hourglasses are running out. If we don't share family traditions, family stories, the younger generation isn't going to know them.
Right.
You're not going to have any way to look at the past and see where they came from or who people were. My mother's family, most of them were dairy farmers.
Right.
My dad grew up on a farm. So, yeah, he went to work for General Motors. My mom was a teacher. I mean, we had a nice middle class upbringing.
Yeah.
No problem there. But, you know, who knows about the generations before?
Right.
And I know that my great grandfather was a sheriff in the county that they lived in back when they carried six guns.
Wow.
But he also had a job as a drayman. He used a horse and a trailer to haul the big logs from the logging they did in northern Michigan. He died getting caught between the logs and the trailer one day. And he lived about a week after the accident, but there was no quality of life.
Yeah.
He was in a great deal of pain. And back then, they didn't know about internal injuries and what to do. And hospitals, nah, they were not even thought of yet, not in rural areas anyway. So I'm going to start 2024 with classes in legacy writing. I'm targeting grandparents right now, but anybody can write a legacy story. Anybody who knows this story can write it.
Right.
You can add drawings, pictures, memories. What are your values and beliefs, or what were they when you grew up that you see missing today? Because there are some that are not there.
Right.
Any of that can go into legacy writing. The first course, or the first thing I'm going to do after it goes out and is announced in the newspaper and the flyers are out, is hold a grandparents gathering so that people can ask questions and get answers. And I'll find out if there's an interest in this. And I have a storytelling workshop that I will offer. If there are people who want to delve into it farther after the storytelling workshop, I have a grandparents journey workshop that will allow them to get a little deeper into it and actually start the writing and do some writing.
Right.
And those who actually want to finish a book or a story, whichever they choose to do, I'm offering creating colorful characters. So that their characters, if they're doing a picture book for children, they have vivid characters who make an impression and give a message. So that when they're telling their stories that are family stories, the people who were a part of them become real. Not just characters in a book, but they were real people.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, I have a manuscript mastery, and that one's not ready yet. It won't be ready till toward the end of the quarter.
Right.
And then I have, and if you want to learn how to do this course, it has a different name. Experience the coaching, I think is what it's called. Mm-hmm. And that will also come toward the end of the quarter. So those are in development. They're not cut and dried yet.
But right.
That's what we're looking at. And I'm just excited to be doing this because
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
I will probably be doing this along with everyone else. I said, if I ever write my memoirs, it will be in snippets of memory.
Oh, that would be nice. Now, you know, our older generation, you know, grew up with, you know, passing on the legacies. And, you know, we grew up, you know, from our grandparents, learn about legacy and the importance of legacy. But it seems like, you know, especially with the Z generation, the new generation to come, they don't really value as much the importance of legacy. You know, what did inspired you and to really want to, you know, push the legacy writing? Is it because you want to make sure people hold on to that value?
It is. I really want them to hold on to and to know the values. Even sometimes if you don't know them, there's nothing to hold on to. The younger generation sees legacy as how much money you're leaving behind.
Mm-hmm.
And not the value in the stories or the past. And that's sad because, mm-hmm. you know, if you don't know history, it is going to repeat itself.
Yeah.
And there's not an option.
Right.
And so it's important to know what has come before. We may never know the whys of some of it, but what has come before and how it was handled and what we're looking at for the future.
I think sometimes too, it's just the stories itself are so enlightening. I remember I used to sit by my grandmother on the couch and my grandmother would tell me story after story about back in the day. And after she would tell me a story, I'd be like, Grandma, tell me another story. And I could see her taking a breath like, oh gosh, another story, you know? And then my other grandfather would love to tell stories about back in the day. And his stories were so enlightening and fruitful. And it was just fun to listen to them. And no matter how many times he repeated the same story, it didn't matter. Each time he told it, it sounded better and better. And it was always entertaining. And I think it's just such a wonderful gift to be able to think back about how things were back in the day before we grew up, the fun stories, the things they did, and then learning about them as a person. Really, you know, what it was, you know, a lot of my family I didn't really get to know so closely. So, you know, I always felt, you know, an emptiness about that. But the ones that, you know, shared their stories and shared their legacies and, you know, opened their world to me, it was so nice because it made me realize and understand who I was as a person, because, you know, understanding them made me understand me, because a lot of the DNA and behaviors kind of went down the line, and the stories and the values they had and the way they did things and the goodness in their hearts. It was just something that the money couldn't even buy. It was just priceless.
Exactly. And, you know, we look at future generations. I look at my grandchildren. My granddaughter, we can't give her away. I mean, you know who she belongs to. My grandson looks like my dad, but he's bigger built. He's taller than my dad ever was. And I think back to when I was a tiny girl, my Uncle Dwayne was a big man.
Mm-hmm.
Although he had jet black hair and blue eyes, where my grandson is a blue-eyed blonde, almost a towhead.
Yeah.
There's that difference. But I can remember as a little girl standing in Uncle Dwayne's hand.
Mm-hmm.
And literally standing up in his hand. My dad tried to do that after my uncle died. And Dad's hand was smaller.
Right.
And I could never really let go of Dad. And I think it was the smaller hand that made the difference. You know, Uncle Dwayne's hand was so big, he could hold both my feet. Dad could hold my feet, but not in the same way. And he tried to do that. There are pictures of him trying to do that, me not being able to feel the balance like I had.
Right.
And yet, you know, I was 18 months old when my uncle died.
Mm-hmm.
And I can, there are pictures of this, but I can remember doing it.
Yeah.
And they say, you know, children can't remember things. Wrong. They do.
They do.
They really do. And this is one of the things that I carry with me that my grandchildren could never experience.
Yeah. Now, if someone was interested in legacy writing, how do they get started? Because so many people have wanted to write memoirs, have wanted to share books. You know, I know that when certain people in my family had passed, they had letters and they had, you know, things that were passed down, and they wanted to create a book for their other sisters, or, you know, they wanted to write a little memoir so other family members would get to, you know, see the other side of them and cherish those moments and have them to hold in their heart. How does someone begin? You know, can you give some advice to people, some simple tips on how to begin?
I would say, excuse me, I would say start with a memory, one that really holds you hold dear.
Mm-hmm.
And start with that. Write as much as you can remember about it. You know, what did it feel like? What did it smell like? What was it that made it a memory that sticks?
Right.
I was talking to friends about that the other day because I had written something on LinkedIn about memories. And I said, I remember having an ice rink in the backyard. Dad went out and made a patch and he iced it every night all winter. And he was out there with a big trowel, making sure that it was smooth and no one would get hurt. And that's where we learned to ice skate.
Right.
Then we went to the ice rink because we already knew how to skate.
Yeah.
Or the winter that when we were up at the cabin that they had, Dad cleared off the ice on the lake, and not only could we toboggan down onto the ice, but there was a barrier, so we couldn't go any farther. You know, we could only go so far, but we could ice skate on the lake.
Right.
And those are things I remember.
Right.
And, you know, I also remember going to the fire hall where they had a nice rink for us and we could get hot chocolate.
Yeah.
I always remember Mom having hot chocolate for us after we were outside playing in the snow or something. And then at some point when I was a kid, Dr. Pepper used to advertise that mm-hmm. they were good hot. And so Mom started making us hot Dr. Pepper to drink, mm-hmm. but it was always a warm beverage. When we came in so that we could warm up and maybe she had soup and sandwiches if it was lunchtime, but there was always a warm beverage.
So would you say that maybe starting a journal would be a great way to begin?
Like, that's always a great way to begin. I tell all my clients, take 3 pages of paper. They can be notebook paper. They can be a spiral notebook, anything you want.
Right.
As long as you have 3 pages of paper. Get up a half an hour early. Make yourself a cup of coffee while the house is still quiet. And brain dump everything in your mind. Anything that bothers you. Anything that you're excited about.
Yeah.
What the weather looks like out the window. What if you have an annoying coworker, drop it in there. Doesn't matter, because this is for you.
Yeah.
And if you have a memory that is triggered at some point, write it down.
Right.
Memories are what you will go back and collect.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do that every day, you have something.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot.
That's Morning Pages by Julia Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I learned that, is reading Julia Cameron. And in every one of her books, that's what she tells you to do first.
Right.
Do your 3 pages back and front, handwritten. And the reason it's handwritten, it gets it all out of your head. Whatever you have to do the rest of the day, you have a clear head.
Yeah.
That's if you fun. Type it, it doesn't have the same effect.
Really?
No. There's something about actually writing the words that helps empty them from your head.
Wow.
So if you had an argument with your spouse, or you were angry with one of the kids, write it down. It's not for them to see.
Yeah.
And then think about it as you're writing it down. And was it really worth getting all upset over?
Right. Now, you have a couple of books out there. What books do you have out there? I know that you're an author of a couple.
I got a couple right here.
Oh, let me see.
I don't know if you can see this one.
Oh, I could see it. Oh.
Okay. It's called Let's Write Fiction, Tears, Fears, Confidence Book. This is the hardcover. The paperback is 8x11, so you can write right in it.
Oh, nice.
This came out in June, and let me tell you, it's been a labor of love for that. It's easy to read.
Mm-hmm.
There's no big technical stuff in there.
Right.
Other than when I describe the different genres you can write in.
Yeah.
But you can buy the book, and if you follow it along, you should have a book when you're done.
That's wonderful.
You buy the book. If you buy it from me on my website, I know that you've got it, and I can give you entry into my private writing group, Pen a Dream, on Facebook. And so you can get advice there. I am dropping in there to give little tidbits and encouragement and answer questions, so that people know I will do some video. I will do some that are just written. But right. When I did this one, because I believe everyone has a story to tell.
They do.
I created a journal.
Oh, and very nice.
That's what it says. It's 80 pages. It's not real big, but it's a start.
Yeah, for sure.
Anybody who wants it. I believe that's also on my website. The book I featured this month is this one.
Oh, I like it.
It's called Santa Is For Real, But He Doesn't Always Wear a Red Suit. This is the hardcover. It also comes in paperback and ebook. All of them come in paperback and ebook. I haven't gotten to the audiobooks. This is about 2 12-year-old boys.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually a book and a partial. I introduced them in the flash fiction piece, Finding Ghosts, in an anthology.
Mm-hmm.
And Teddy Brinker and Tommy Huff were finding ghosts in that one. In this one, the two best friends are, Tommy's trying to convince Teddy that there really is a Santa and he doesn't always wear a red suit.
Mm-hmm.
And Teddy's going, yeah, right. I'll bet you the $5 I lost on the ghost thing. So they're always betting $5. It's never more than that. And it's always a friendly thing. And Tommy talks to his dad about it. And he talks to his teacher about it. And the teacher calls both fathers and said, are you up to building a wheelchair ramp? And both dads agree. One of the kids at school needs a wheelchair ramp in order to come home from the hospital for Christmas. So they harness the boys and they go to work on this wheelchair ramp. And the lady next door comes out one day and she brings them all soup because it's cold and she knows they're working outside and they're doing a good thing. So she brings them soup. And the boys return all the bowls and spoons. And she says, you two are just the greatest little elves. As they walk away, Teddy is furious. He says, I'm not an elf. Not an elf. But they get it built and they're all there. And the whole neighborhood turns out when the other student comes home for Christmas. And they give him a microphone when he gets up to the, well, he comes home in an ambulance. That was the first shock.
Mm-hmm.
And the second shock was that he's connected to an IV pole, even as he's going up the ramp.
Right.
They give him a microphone and he says, there really is a Santa because I get to come home.
Oh, that's so
but
nice.
The boys don't learn until they get back to school is he came home to die. And he died on January 2nd.
Oh,
and the boys didn't go back to school till the 4th or the 5th. And they did not learn that until they went back. And Tommy says, or Teddy says to Tommy, you knew all along, didn't you? Which is not true. He didn't. He figured it out, but he didn't. And he didn't say anything.
Right.
But the boys are always having adventures. So they will return for a while.
Oh, that's so nice. I love it. How creative. How beautiful is that story?
Well, it's dedicated to a friend of my daughter's. I met him. I knew him. He was 45 when he died. He'd survived colon cancer. And he ended up with an inoperable brain tumor.
Oh, wow.
And his name was John Brinker Huff, which is where the boys get their name. I separated it to Brinker and Huff. And my grandson and John Jr. grew up together. They grew apart as they got older, but they were best buds young boys. And Jason said to me, Gran, you wrote this about John Ryan and me, didn't you? I said, I did. He said, you know, we don't talk anymore. I said, I know.
Aww.
I said, but Teddy and Tommy can still do things together.
Right.
And he said, yeah, they can.
Oh, that's so beautiful. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, he graduates college on Sunday.
Oh, congratulations.
So I'm excited. He will be the third graduate from Eastern Michigan University.
Nice. Now, you mentioned that these books are on your website. What's your website address?
It's Rebecca, R-E-B-E-C-K-A, Vigus, V-I-G-U-S, dot com. It's
nice.
It's https www, but If you put www.rebeccavigas.com, you will get there. The only one not there at the moment is the poetry book that's just come out.
Okay.
But it will be there shortly. We're working on that. We're working on getting all the legacy classes on there so that people can sign up. And if you are far away and not in Kentucky, don't worry. I will be doing this online. I'm not limiting it just to in person. That would be foolish.
And also, are your books also available on Amazon and all the other ones?
All of them, but the poetry book is the ebook of the poetry book is there, but Barnes and Noble has all three: the ebook, the paperback, and the hardcover.
Okay, great.
So I'm just kind of waiting for Amazon to get with the program. They're just a tad behind because mm-hmm. usually they have it before Barnes and Noble.
Right.
And this time it's the other way around.
Okay. Yeah,
they're all there. There are some that are out of print. The original Only a Start and Beyond that came out in 2004 has been out of print since 2012. Amazon still has a few left from people who had them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you buy that one, you miss what's in the new one. The new one has a dark green cover with trees and fireflies in the background.
Now you have classes, you say, that you offer. What type of classes do you offer? You say you have different clients and so forth.
I have individual clients that come to me. I have one starting January 3rd, who's coming to me for a month to get help. She's written short stories, so writing is not an issue. The issue is she's tackling a novel, and she said, I don't even know if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
So do you have do you do like coaching? Can people contact you?
Yeah.
So yeah. They'll just go on your website if they need coaching?
Yep. And there's a contact me one. I generally right now work on what you can afford basis.
Mm-hmm.
Because my idea is not to break the bank.
Right.
But to get you the help that you need. I've had a couple clients. One wrote a memoir and now he's writing a novel and he doesn't understand that they're two different things.
Right.
But he's working on it. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, that's great.
One of mine wrote a children's book,
mm-hmm.
but it never got published because she had an issue with the illustrator and the words were in a funky font. And she said, you can't do that for little kids. Mm-hmm. It has to be a standard font. And the background that you have and the blue letters, they blend together. No one can read them. Right. And she couldn't get her illustrator to fix that. Mm. And so it never got printed. And I had another gal who started a story and I think it's finished, but I don't think it will ever be published.
Right.
She gave it to her sister to read and her sister finished it and said, you wrote about us, didn't you?
Aww.
And so I don't, and it was a great healing between the two of them. So I don't know, since it served its purpose, if it will get published.
Right.
But yeah, I do help a lot of people.
That's great.
I'm in yourglobalvillage.com.
Okay.
If anybody's looking for me, I'm house number 7 and it's very colorful. And I have a cadre of classes I do there.
Okay.
That are totally different from what I'm doing right now. Eventually they'll merge, but we're not there yet.
Now, if you had to give people a couple of takeaways before we go, what kind of advice would you like to give people to help them on their journey to legacy writing?
basically just get it written.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have it written, once it's in the order you want it, if it's a story that you're going to give to young grandchildren, it doesn't have to be more than 32 pages. Mm-hmm. Find a good illustrator.
Mm-hmm.
Find an editor. I don't care if you find a retired English teacher to edit. But find a good editor, somebody who knows about it. Your library can tell you who they can find to help you find someone.
Right.
And have them look at it. Make sure that your sentences are well written.
Right.
You want them to help you make the sentences the best you can make them.
Yes.
Or the paragraphs if you're writing a small paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
And then think about publishing it. Amazon is great still. You can get it done for relatively nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not looking to have it out there in the world, you just want it for your family,
mm-hmm.
find a local printing company in your area and then ask them if they know who will bind it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not rocket science. It can be done.
Right.
It will cost you a little more because they may have to do 100 of them.
Right.
But it's better than nothing.
Oh, for sure.
It's not like you have to leave it, you know, paper clipped together.
Right.
Once you have the artwork. I did a book, an alphabet book. G is for gymnastics.
Mm-hmm.
And everything in there from A to Z has to do with girls' gymnastics.
Right.
I started the book when my granddaughter was 4. She was 22 when I got a publisher to take it, because my publisher at the time said, any idiot can write an alphabet book. Why would you want to? Well, no, any idiot can't. But not everyone wants to.
Right.
But I did, because she was 4 when she started gymnastics.
Yeah.
And my daughter started coaching that same year. No, year after.
Right.
And she did club gymnastics till she was 10. And it wasn't fun anymore. She was done.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when her mother started coaching again, when she was in the 8th grade, my daughter started coaching high school gymnastics, mm-hmm. as an assistant coach. And my granddaughter did gymnastics all 4 years. By her sophomore year, her mom was the coach.
Mm-hmm.
And my granddaughter has been an assistant coach since she graduated from high school in 2016.
Wow. Now, where can people find your website? Once again, before we go, could tell everybody your website address.
www.Rebecca, R-E-B-E-C-K-A, Vigus, V as in Victor, I-G-U-S,
mm-hmm.
.com.
Excellent. Oh my God, Rebecca, this has been amazing. You are wonderful.
Thank you
so much. You know, this is something that people really need to learn more about. You know, legacy writing is so important. It's a very important topic because we need to keep the legacy going for our families, for the next generation to come. You know, people need to know where they belong, where they came from. And, you know, it's, you know, you're lost if you don't have legacy. Legacy is something that's very important. People want to know where their aunts and great aunts and ancestry comes from, because that tells you more who you are as a person, and it makes you understand yourself better. And it also brings pride to yourself and to your life and to the culture you live. And it also encourages you and energizes you to learn more about who you are and where you came from. And it's something that's very productive. So thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all this valuable information. I really do appreciate
it. You're welcome. Thank you.
This has been wonderful. Thank you so much. Once again, thank you. You've been great.